Okay, today's daf is Makos Daf Dalid. We left off in Daf Gimel Amid Beis. The Mishnah yesterday spoke about a case. The last Mishnah we did yesterday spoke about a case where Edim Zomim testified that someone was Chayiv Elav Zuz in 30 days from now, when in reality he was only Chayiv in 10 years from now. So we were speaking about the time value of money. How much did they actually cost him, or were they intending to cost him by making him pay back after 30 days instead of after 10 years? So then we got into discussions about Malveth Chaveru Le'eser Shanim and whether Shemitah is Meshamet on a 10-year loan. And in the course of those discussions, we continue to quote statements of Rav Yehuda and comments of Rav Kahana that tried to question the statements of Rav Yehuda. So in the context of that, sometimes the Gemara is thematically linked, and sometimes these different statements of the Gemara are linked by who the author of the statement is. So this is the latter category. We're on the second wide line now, second very wide line, on Gimel Amud Beis. V'amar v'idom Rav, we're about to say something that has absolutely nothing to do with Maseches Makos, but we're mentioning it because it's a statement of Rav Yehuda Rav, and Rav Kahana is gonna ask on it. So Amar Bidom Rav, Haposech Beis Hatzavar B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. If someone opens up the neck of his clothing on Shabbos, he's Chayiv Karban Chatas. The Beis Hatzavar is that they used to, I guess, similar to the pockets in suits where it comes stitched, and you would open it up. And although most people don't open up the pockets in the suits, but you can't wear the shirt without opening up the neck, so they would open it up and be able to wear the shirt. So if one does that, they're chayiv chatas because it's considered to be a tikkun kli, and Rashi just points out, he gives the exact ha'ara that we had as to why it is that the Gemara mentions this here. Again, not linked thematically, but just linked by who the author is. Maskev l'Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana asks on that, v'chima ben zel magufas chavis. Why is this any different to the covering of a barrel, where we say in Masech Shabbos and Afkuf Mem Vav that a chavis that breaks, your matiz rosh b'Shabbos b'sayif, you take a sword and you could chop off the top of the closed barrel in order to open up the barrel. Why is opening up the top of a barrel any different than opening up the top of a shirt, where opening up the top of the barrel is mutter, opening up the top of the shirt is aser? Amrle, is that chibur v'zeh ino chibur? So the answer is very different. By the Beis HaTzavar, by the neck of the shirt, it was attached, it was connected. So when you disconnect it, when you open up the stitching, so that's considered a complete tikkun. But the magufa of the chavis, the covering of the barrel, even though you make it sticky, you make the top stick onto the barrel, but it's not a complete chibur. It's not totally connected to the barrel, and therefore, when you knock off the top of the barrel, that's not considered to be a tikkun kli. So there, it's considered a separate unit from the barrel itself. It's not considered a tikkun kli. It would be similar to a soda bottle, right? When you open up a soda bottle, the cap of the bottle and the bottle itself are considered two separate kelim. It's not considered that you're being masakin the soda bottle itself when you remove the cap from the bottle. Those that have an issue with opening up the caps of the soda bottle, that's not their issue. Their issue is not that you're turning the bottle into a kli by taking the cap off of it. The issue would be that you're turning the cap into a kli, because very often the way the cap is made by every soda bottle nowadays, the way the cap is made is that you rip off, when you open it the first time, you rip off a ring that remains around the top of the cap. So the cap never functioned independently as a kli yet, because it always had this ring that made it unable to be taken on and off in that way. When you rip off that ring, now it's able to be taken on and off. So there are those that think that that might be a problem. Others suggest, no, the cap is just holding it on tight, but the ring is just holding it on tight, but the cap is usable anyway. The cap is an independent kli that's perfectly fine, while the ring was still on it. So anyway, so that's the, but that's totally different than this case of the chavis. Fine. Vamar Vidom Rav, third very wide line. Vamar Vidom Rav, Shloshes Lugin Mayim, Shenafel Tochan Kortov Shalyayin. If you have three lug of water and a kortov of wine falls into the water, Umarayin Kamarayin, and now the entire tyrovest, the entire mixture of wine and water, looks like wine, because it's all colored like wine. And then Vinaflu the mikvah, then they fall into a mikvah. Now the background information is that if Shloshes Lug and Mayim Sheuvin, if three lug of regular Mayim Sheuvin, of drawn water that was drawn by a kli, going to a mikveh passels the mikveh. That's only if the mikveh does not yet have mem sa'a. Once the mikveh already has mem sa'a, all the mayim shuvin in the world is not going to passel the mikveh, right? It's if the mikveh does not yet have mem sa'a, and you're just filling it the first time, so three lugin of mayim shuvin is going to passel it on its initial filling up. So if you have three lug of mayim shuvin, but these three lug of mayim shuvin are colored to look like wine, because they've been mixed with wine, and they fall into a mikveh, and the other piece of background information obviously is if three lug of wine falls into a mikveh, it does not passel a mikveh. It's only three lug of mayim she'uvin that would passel a mikveh. Three lug of wine would not passel a mikveh, so over here, lo pasluhu, it would not passel it, and the obvious assumption is that zil basar chazusa, that we look at what it looks like, and since it looks like wine, and has a din of wine, and therefore it's not going to passel the mikveh, mi din mayim she'uvin. Mask for Rav Kahana. So again, this is another statement of Rabbi Yudah Merav where Rav Kahana is asking. That's why I'm quoting this. So Mask for Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asks on that. V'chi ma ben zeh l'meit seva. Why is this any different than colored water? Ditnan, where we learned in the Mishnah the following. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Meit Seva Pulsin as a mikvah, B'shloshes Lugin. Rabbi Yossi says, colored water will passel a mikvah, just like any regular Mayim She'uvin would passel a mikvah. You have three lugs of it, it's going to passel a mikvah. Why is water colored with wine any different than water colored with anything else? So Amalei Rava, Hasa Maya Ditziva Mikri, Hacha Chamra Meziga Mikri. Says it all depends on what people call it. When you color water, people say it's colored water. When you have wine mixed with water, people say it's diluted wine. So since it would be called diluted wine rather than colored water, it has a din of wine. So it seems that it's not only Basar Chazusa that we go, but it's Basar the Shema, it's Basar the Shame. How you define something is based on shame. You do have a similar concept in Yaradeya. When we talk about a tyrovis, when we talk about mixtures, the number one question about any tyrovis, any mixture of treif and kosher, of milk and meat, in Yaradeya, in Hilchos Tyrovis, is the mixture a min bimino mixture or min b'she'eno mino? Are there two like kinds that mix together, or are they two unlike kinds? Because midar raisa, min bimino is batal barov, but min b'she'eno mino you need shishim. So that's a major question that you need to ask in order to know what the din midar raisa would be. How do you define what's called the same min, what's called a different min? So pashup shah is like the shach says in Yardei. The shach says, how do you define the same min? If it tastes the same, it's the same min. Because that's what we're concerned about when you have milk and meat mixing together, when you have chazer treif mixing together with kosher. But the Ramah says, no, it's not about taste. It's about the shame. It's about what people call it. So if people are going to call it wine, diluted wine, even though it tastes like water, and then mixes with other water, right? That would have a din of min b'she'eno mino. It's all bus for the shame. So you have such a concept in Yaradeya. Also, this concept shouldn't be so foreign to us. That based on what the shame is, that's going to determine what we consider to have fallen in to the mikveh. V'atani Rabbi Chiya horidu es ha-mikveh. But didn't Rabbi Chiya teach us that horidu es ha-mikveh, that when the three lug of mayim that has wine in it, and it looks like wine, falls into the mikveh, Rabbi Chiya says that it's horidu es ha-mikveh, that it passels the mikveh. So how can we say that we held it keep the mikveh still kasher, it sells the din of wine? Amar Rav lo kasha, harab yochanan nuri harabanan. This stira as to whether the mikveh is still kasher when the wine-colored water falls into it is subject to machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and the Rabbanan. Ditnan, we have the following Mishnah. Shloshes lugin mayim chaser kortov shenafel l'tochem kortov yayin umarein kemari yayin v'nafel mikveh lo paslu. Now, this is not exactly our case, right? This is a case of three lug minus a kortov. So you didn't have three lug of real water. You had let's say 2.9 lug of water and then 0.1 lugs of yayin. But that yayin colored all of the water, so it's not going to passel the mikveh when it falls into the mikveh, because you didn't have three lug of mayim she'uvin. Now the implication is, if you had three full lug of mayim she'uvin that a kortov of yayin fell into and colored the color of wine, the whole thing was colored the color of wine, it would passel. And that would be what Rabbi Chiya holds like. When Rabbi Chiya says, Horidu es ha-mikvah, Rabbi Chiya says that takes the mikvah down, it passels the mikvah, it would be like this line of the Mishnah, which seems to assume the only reason it's not passel is because you didn't have three lugan of mayim in the first place. Had you had three lugan of mayim that was then colored with wine, and then it fell into the mikvah, it would passel it. V'chaim gimel lugan mayim chaser kortov, and also if you have three lugs of mayim missing a kortov, shenaf fal tochan and kortov chalav, and a kortov of milk fell into it, umar ayin kimara mayim, but it retained the color of water, because milk doesn't do as much to color the water as wine does, so it retains the color of water, v'naflu the mikvah, and it falls into the mikvah, lo pasluhu, it would not pasul the mikvah, right? So that's, which is what you would expect, right? That it's not going to pasul the mikvah, even if it did color it, the Tanakhama said it's not going to pasul the mikvah. Of course, if it doesn't color it, it's not going to pasul the mikvah, right? It's still chaser a kortov of water. It didn't have three full lugs of mayim shuvin. But then comes along Rabbi Yochanan Uri. Rabbi Yochanan Uri Omer hakol halich achar hamara. You always look at the color. Now, what does that mean? You always look at the color. So by what that would mean to say is that if you have wine that fell into water, even if the water initially was three full lugs, if it was colored with wine and therefore looks like wine, it's not going to passel the mikvah. Meaning Tanakhama said the only reason when the wine fell in it doesn't passel the mikvah is because you didn't start off with three lugs of water. But had you started off with three lugs of water, wine falling into that water is not going to help any. It's still three lugs of water. Whereas comes along Rabbi Yochanan Uri and says that wine falling into the water does help. If it colors the water, that does that does give it a din of wine and not a din of water, and therefore it's not going to passel the mikvah. Good, says the Gemara, but wait a second. I mean, bayu la Rav Papa. This was a shaila that Rav Papa had asked. The bayu Rav Papa, Rav Tani, chaser kort of Bereisha, Rav taught that in the Reisha of this Mishnah that we just read, it should say that you had three lugs of water minus a kort of, aval shlosha lugin latanakama pasli. But if there were three lug, if there actually was three lug of water initially, then the Tanakhama would say Ataka would passel the mikvah, which is the way we read the Mishnah. Vas Rabbi Yochanan the Memer then comes along Rabbi Yochanan and he says, no, it's not necessarily going to passel the mikvah, even if it starts at three lugs of Mayim Shuvin, because I call Halech Achar Mara. Because if it looks like wine right now, so now it's wine, and you look at the color. V'Rav Omer Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, and Rav says like Rabbi, and therefore Rav, who said that the as long as it looks like wine, it's not going to pass on the mikvah, is going like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. Oh, Dilma, or maybe, no. Maybe Rav, lo tani chaser kortav bereisha. Rav did not learn in the Reisha the phrase chaser kortav. Meaning in Rav's version of the Mishnah, the Reisha was speaking about a case where it was three full lug of Mayim Shu'uvin. And nevertheless, the Reisha said that even though it was three full lug of Mayim Shu'uvin and it was then colored by wine, it's still not going to passel the mikvah. Meaning that even the Tanakhama holds that three lug of Mayim Shu'uvin that has since been colored by wine and then falls into the mikvah is still not going to passel the mikvah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ki palig asefa hu de palig. Rav Damar kedivri akol. And when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes along to argue, he's not even arguing on the case of the Yayin. He's only arguing on the case of the chalav, of the mayim and the chalav. And therefore, when Rav says the case of three lug of mayim that has wine mixed into it and colors the whole thing the color of wine and then falls into the mikvah, and Rav says that it doesn't passel the mikvah because it has a din of wine, that goes both according to the Tanakhama and according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rav Papa had a shaili, wasn't sure how to learn Rav. Does Rav only fit into Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or does Rav fit into both shittos? So says Gemara, and I mean the problem with saying that Rav fits into both shittos is then what are you going to do with Rabbi Chiya, right? Who is it? Was Rabbi Chiya, right? Yeah, that Rabbi Chiya says it does passel the mikvah when you have the three lug of mayim that's colored by the wine. You need him to fit with somebody. If Rav is fitting with the Tanakhama, who's Rabbi Chiya going to fit with? So answers the Gemara, Rav Papa and Mibayalei, Rav Pshitalei. Yeah, Rav Papa wasn't sure how to learn it. He wasn't sure whether you should learn it that Rav is only going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri or Rav is going like both Shitos. But Rava knew it. Rava didn't have the Shaila. Rava was confident that the Pshat was that it was. He was confident that the Pshat was that Rav was only going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and not like the Tanakhama. Amar Rav Yosef, lo shmir li hashmaita. Rav Yosef says, you know, I never learned this whole discussion. I don't have any tradition about how this discussion is supposed to go, about how Rav really learned it, whether it was going like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri or Tanakama. So Rav Yosef just said, you know, I don't have any such tradition. So Amar Abaye says to Rav Yosef, at amr lanehalan, v'achy amr nehalan, what do you mean you don't have such a tradition? You told us this tradition. You know, remember you said shir in this, and you told us as follows. Rav lo tani chasur kort of bereisha. Rabbi Yochanan seifa palig. V'rav damar k'divrei kol. You told us bepe mele that Rav didn't have the girsa in the first line of this Mishnah of chasur kortiv, and therefore Rav was going bein Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and bein l'tanakam. He was going according to everybody. Yeah, and because Rabbi Yochanan Nuri was only arguing on the seifa, he didn't even argue on the reisha, because the reisha everyone agrees that if it starts out as three lug of mayim and then it's colored by yayin, it's going to have a din of yayin. It's not going to pass the mikvah. So Abaye was there to remind Rav Yosef what he had said in Shir. Rashi points out this was not so unique, that Abaye was there to remind Rav Yosef. Now, why would Rav Yosef have to know everything that Rav said? So Rashi points out that Rav Yosef was Talmido Shel Rav Yehuda Ani. This was Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, right? It wasn't just Rav. It was Rav Yehuda saying the name of Rav, and Rav Yosef was a Talmud of Rav Yehuda. So you'd expect Rav Yosef to know what Rav Yehuda said, and Rav Yosef said, you know, I never lo shamati mipiv shmozu. I never heard him say shir on this. I was absent that day. And then Abaye reminds him, Rashi points out, that's not totally unique either, because Rav Yosef Rav Yosef got sick, he forgot much of his learning, and Abaye would always remind him what he had said. So you find in a lot of places in Shas where Rav Yosef says, yeah, I don't know anything about this, I never learned anything about this, and Abaye is always there for him to say, yes, you do know about this, remember Rabbi, you said this, because he had lost it, he had lost his learning. That's so the Gemara darshins that a Talmud Chacham sheshachach Talmudo, you still have to be mechabed him, he still deserves kavod, you're chayev to be mechabed him, and we learn that from the Shivrei Luchos that are munachin ba'aron, that not only do we leave the Luchos that are intact in the Aron, but the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos, are also left in the Aron, and the Gemara learns from there, Gemara in Kedushin, that from there we know that you have to be mechabed even the Talmud Chacham sheshachach Talmudo, and that's exactly what Abaye did for Rav Yosef. We've pointed out in the past many times, that's how the Bali Musar explained the Gemara at the very end of Sota, where in the Mishnah at the end of Sota it says, Mishameis Rebbe Batla Nava, that when Rebbe died, humility died, and Rav Yosef said, Altisni Anava Di'ika Ana. Don't say that humility died when Rebbe died because I'm still around. And all the Bali Musar asked the obvious Kasha, what do you mean? Don't say humility died because you're still around. That doesn't sound very humble at all, to say I'm the most humble person in the whole world. Humble people generally try to draw attention away from themselves, not toward themselves. Certainly positive attention. So that's what some of the Bali Musar explain, that it's based on who Rav Yosef was. Now, what's the definition of humility? Definition of humility is not to say that I'm not talented, I'm not smart, I'm not... Definition of humility is not to deny all the gifts that the Ribbono Shel gave us. Definition of humility is to say that the gifts the Ribbono Shel gave me are just that. They're gifts that the Ribbono Shel gave me. They're not something that make me better, they're something that give me more responsibility. And that's what I have to... And it makes my chiyuv in this world all the greater. So, and if Rav Yosef was not saying... when Rebbe died, Anivus didn't die because I'm the most humble person. He said, Da'ika Ana, because there's still me around, meaning that if people think that what we have, that our intelligence, our ability to learn, our ability to accomplish things, is based on our own abilities and not based on a gift from God, let them just take one look at me. They'll look at what I had, at how I was the Gadol Amorayim, I was the number one Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda, I was the Rebbe of Abaye, and now I lost it all. I don't have it. In a moment, it's gone. The Ribbono Shel made me sick, and I lost it. So if you need a raya that Hashem nasan v'Hashem lakach, ha'ika ana. That's unlike others say that some of the more... creative achronim say, no, there must have been a guy named Ana. So that's what I said. Vayika Ana, there's that guy Ana. You know, he's the most humble person. And he's apparently not only the most humble, because he's the most everything, because there's Vayika Ana on a lot of the other characteristics listed in the Mishnah. Okay, Vam Rav Yehuda Marav. Rav Yehuda Marav says as follows. Chavis Malaya Mayim. Again, still in Rav Yehuda Marav's statements. A chavis, a barrel full of water. Shnuffel the Yama Gadol. It falls into the Yama Gadol. Hatovel Shamlo also lo Tvila. If you're Tovel right on that spot where the water fell, the Tvila doesn't work. It's flow also lo tefillah, because we're afraid that maybe all the water that was in the barrel, and it's obviously mayim shuvin if it was in a barrel, so all the water that was in the barrel is sitting there in that one spot, and when you went and dipped in that spot, Rosh HaVeruba of the person went in the mayim shuvin, and that's one of the things that would passel truma, right? So that's why lo also lo tefila, the tefila does not work. We're worried that shlosh lugin should not be in one place, right? We're concerned chashinon that it should not be in one place. Now it's interesting. Rashi had a girsa. If you look at the Dibur HaMaskil of Rashi in the first medium-sized line, the Dibur HaMaskil is E'efshar l'shloshes lugin, and the continuation would be shelo yehu b'makom echad, that it's impossible that all three lugs of mayim are not sitting there in the same place. So Rashi points out that girsa is wrong. He says lo garsinin, you can't say it's impossible. Tavadei efshar, it's certainly possible that the water got mixed in with other water and it's not sitting there in one spot. Elachashinan l'shema. No, all we're saying is we're concerned that it might be sitting there in one spot. V'sefer demilsa mucha demishem shema hu. And he says if you just read on in the Gemara, you're going to see that it has to be a concern that maybe it's in one spot, but not a definitive statement that it must be in one spot. Because we're going to start talking about chazakos, and should we assume it was okay, should we not assume it was okay? If you know for sure that the water stood in one spot, what do you mean chazaka? You know for sure that it was an invalid tefillah, there would be nothing to talk about. The very concept of talking about chazakos, and should we assume it was valid or not valid, assumes that we don't know for sure what the metzias is. V'dafka liyama hagadol, back in the Gemara, v'dafka liyama gadol dekai v'kaima, but that's only true of the yama gadol, which stands in one place, where the waters don't move. Aval nahara bi'al malo, but when it comes to a regular river, the same would not be the case. If you look at Tosfos, the top Tosfos, Amr b'dam rav, chavis malei amayim, says, girsa kuntros, v'kamar lo olsalo tfila, mishum mayim shu'uvin. Right? Rashi's girsa is that we're dealing with a barrel full of water, and the reason the tefillah doesn't work is because it was mayim shu'uvin. Says Tosfos v'lo nira, I don't believe that that's correct. Tahamid shavilu ashaka kumuchubarim latar mituma huadilin in tefillah nami. Meaning, let's say you have water that's tamei. Is it how do you metaher tamei water? How do you tovel water that's tamei? So there's something called ashaka. What is ashaka? If I have a cup of tamei water, I take the cup, I dip the cup in the mikvah, till the water in the cup kisses the water in the mikvah, right? Till it touches, that's hashaka, it's kissing the water in the mikvah, it just touches the water in the mikvah, that makes the water in the cup ki'ilu, it's part of the mikvah water itself is tahar, so all the water in the cup becomes tahar as well. That's the concept of hashaka. So it says to us, so if the concept of hashaka is enough to be mitaher, tamei waters, shouldn't it also be enough to take away the status of mayim shu'uvin? That once you do, if the yam ha-gadol is more than 40 sa'a, right? Yeah, you're not dipping in three lug of mayim shuvin. You're dipping in a mikveh that had three lug of mayim shuvin then mixed in with it, and therefore the mayim shuvin became regular water. So shouldn't it have become mutter by ashaka? Shouldn't the tevila work? Va'od, furthermore, says Tosatamin bebeitza, madbilin kli al gabe meim of letaro, ve'echi salkale tevila legomana ha-mayim shabtocha shuvin. Furthermore, let's say the kli that had that tamei water that we were talking about was tamei. When you dip the kli in the mikvah in that way through ashaka, the kli also becomes tahar. Fractosos, how could the inside of the kli become tahar if the water inside the kli you assume is still tamei? If the water inside that kli you assume is unaffected, then it's not unaffected. It's not tamei, but it's mayim shu'uvin. If it's still the status of mayim shu'uvin and it's not mixed together with the rest of the mikvah water, how would that be mitar the kli? V'lo me'arvi ba'ashaka bi'alma adavlu. Elavadai nasim mechubarim gam linyan tefillah. So you have to say that in regards to tefillah also, once you do ashaka, all the water of the mikvah is one big unit, and everything is fine. L'kach nir, so what's our case talking about over here, Rabbi Yehuda Merav? So l'kach nir degarsin b'milsed Rabbi Yehuda, chavis meleya yayin. The case is not a barrel full of water, the case is a barrel full of wine. U'l'kach l'also tefillah. We're talking about the Yama Gadol over here, where the water is not moving, so the wine doesn't just go into some raging river where you don't see it 2 seconds later. The wine might be sitting in one spot. If it were mayim, you're right, it would just become part of the mikvah and it would be totally fine and you'd be allowed. No, but it's wine over here, and since it might be sitting in one spot, the iser nicker v'tovel b'yayin. You could be end up. It could be that if you go in that spot, that you're being tovel in wine. Avonar b'yamalo devade misarev b'mayim. Now, if it were a regular river, you wouldn't have that problem, because even when you pour the wine would immediately get mixed in with all the water, and you'd be when you jump into that spot, you'll be jumping into water. Va'azlo hayben v'aslo tefila, and the tefila certainly would work. Now, says Tosfos, but wait a second. Can't you just look, see if the wine is all in one spot? So he says, we must be talking about white wine. If we're talking about red wine, you'd be able to look and see if it's all in one spot. So it's got to be that we're talking about white wine, that we're not talking about red wine. Now, the Hagos Cheshek Shlomo over here has the following point. When Tosos rejects Rashi, he says, "Vinir be'enai b'yosei." So, how does Tosos reject Rashi? Tosos says, "I reject Rashi because of the concept of hashaka," and he ends up quoting a Gemara Maseches Beitza. So, the Cheshek Shlomo, his problem with Tosos is not that he thinks Tosos is incorrect; it's that he thinks Tosos didn't bring the best raya. That it's mimercha tavi lachmo here. He could have brought a raya from a much clearer source. He says, "There's a Mishnah Arucha b'mikvaos paragvav Mishnah Gimel. It's an afna Mishnah." In Mikvaos Paragvav Mishnah Gimel, where it says Vashav Minatzad HaMikvaos Tahorin VaTovim Tahorin, it says Beferish that when you take Mayim Shuvin and you let it kiss the waters of the mikvah, so not the mikvah is tahor. Those who are tovel in those waters are tahor. All of that. So I read the head of the Mahani Ashaka Linyan Tvila. It says Beferish that Ashaka works for the sake of Tvila. Right? Tosfos saying Hashaka works to be mitar of the water. And if it works to be mitar of the water and make it no longer mayim shuvin, so it's got to make it no longer mayim shuvin, and it's got to be okay for tevila also. But Tosfos makes it sound like that second step is logical. He says, forget the logic. You have a Mishnah that says the second step beferish, that not only does hashaka work to be mitar of the water, but that you can then be tovel in that water. So why does he have to go and quote from this obvious source? Good. The other issue that Cheshek Shlomo points out is, according to what did Rashi say? The case is that the water fell into the, or even according to Tosos, something fell into the Yama Gadol, and we're choshesh that when you jump into that spot, you might be dipping into a spot where that puzzle stuff is, where it's either Mayim Shuvin according to Rashi, wine according to Tosos, and therefore it's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good tefillah. Now let's stick with Rashi for a second, right? So according to Rashi, why would we be choshesh that maybe you jumped into the area that has Mayim Shuvin and you went Rosh of Rubo into Mayim Shuvin? This is a din drabanan, right? The whole chashash of Tumah is only drabanan, and the halacha is safik drabanan l'kula, right? So why? What do you mean choshesh? Why should we be choshesh l'chumra? Normally we would assume safik drabanan l'kula. So says the Cheshek Shlomo, ubishlam machshash u'deshem etovel b'shuvin v'nimtza she'in kan tevil klal. Now look, if the chashash is that you dipped in mayim shuvin, and you hold that when the entire area that you dipped in is all mayim shuvin, that's a din d'oraisa, then it's no good. So then I understand very well why we'd be choshesh. Right? Then I understand that we're concerned that it's ki'ilu you dipped in a mikvah that's entirely shuv, which is obviously a problem midaraisa. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, not that you dipped entirely into Shuvin, but that Rosh of Arubo touched Shuvin. But obviously there were parts of your body, Rashi assumes, that definitely touched non-Shuvin also. And he says, furthermore, okay, we'll get to that line in the Gemara as well soon. Okay. Viter. So says the Gemara Viter. So we just said, good, so this barrel of water falls into the Yama Gadol, and you jump right into that area, you dip right into that area, so it's not going to work for a tefillah, because we're choshesh, that maybe you jumped into an area that all the mayim stayed in that area, but if we're at any other yam, besides for the Yama Gadol, it would be okay. Tani Namiach, we have a brisa that supports this. Chavis Malaya Yayin, now over here we're Goreis Yayin according to everybody. You have a barrel full of wine, Shenafel the Yama Gadol, falls into the Yama Gadol, Hatovel Sham Loel Salot Tefillah, if you Tovel, in that area, the tefillah doesn't work, because we're choshesh that it's going to be three lug of shu'uvin in one area. V'chein kikar shel truma shenafal sham tamei. And so too, a kikar of truma, a loaf of truma that falls there is going to be tamei. So it says, my v'chein, what do you mean v'chein? Of course. Meaning, once you assume that it's not going to have the powers to be metaher, so what difference does it make if we're talking about a person or a loaf of truma? Of course it's going to be tamei. So it says, no, ma'u detei mahasum uki gavra achazake, hacha uki truma achazake. Meaning, well, is the case of Truma, that if the Truma then touches this Tame guy who did not become tar from that mikvah, right? That the Truma is also going to become Tame, right? That if the guy goes out of the mikvah and then the Truma touches it, so the guy was Metame the water, and then the Truma is going to become Tame from that. So what's the have a minute to think otherwise? So the Gemara is saying, very simple, what was the guy before he went into the mikvah? The guy himself was tameh before he went into the mikvah. So if we're not sure whether the tevila worked, we would just go with chazaka. Say, okay, he was b'cheskas tameh before, so let's assume he's still tameh. What was the truma before it fell in there? The truma before it fell in was tahar, and we're choshesh that it became tameh. So one might have thought, let the truma stay at its chazaka also, and keep it tahar. That's why we have to say v'chein, kamash mulan, we say v'chein, to tell me that the truma is tameh also. Now, okay, says new Mishnah. Two Edom come and they testify against somebody against Reuven that he owes Shimon 200 zuz. V'nim tzu zomin, and turns out that they become Edom zomin. Lokin umishalmin. Not only do they get malchus, not only do they pay the masayim zuz, they also get malchus. They get both. Shelo Hashem amvilin de malchus mivilin de tashlumin, because it's not the same pasuk that's mechayev them both for malchus and for tashlumin. Meaning, since it's two separate isurim that they violated, they can be punished for two separate isurim. Now, generally, if you violate one isur that has two punishments, you're only going to get one of those punishments. But if you violate two separate isurim, you can get punished for each of them. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the sheet of Rav Meir. V'cham omrim, v'cham say no, kol hamishali meino loka. Once you're paying, you're not going to get malchus. That's the rule. If you're paying, you're not going to get malchus. Now, Rashi understood the sheet of Rav Meir that shelo hashem mechayev malchus mechayev tashlumin. Rashi says malchus is because of losane, and tashlumin is because of kasha zaman. Right? They're two totally separate. And that's where Rameir says you could be chayiv both. Whereas the Chacham say no. Once you pay, Kedei Rishaso teaches us iyatam chayiv mishum shtei rishayos. You can't be chayiv for two things. You can only be chayiv once. Therefore, whenever you're paying, you're not going to get malchus. The Gemara in Ksubis Rashi points out Alam and Beis asks, why do you pick the money? Why don't you say anyone who gets malchus doesn't pay, instead of saying anyone who pays doesn't get malchus? Why don't you say anyone who gets malchus doesn't pay and he shouldn't have to pay? So the Gemara answers because beferish rips the Torah edim zomim tashlumin, because the Torah says explicitly that edim zomim pay. So that's why we know that the edim zomim are going to have to pay. The question is, will they also get malchus? So the Meir says yes. Lecham say no. Tosov here disagrees with Rashi. If you look at Tosov, Lokan Mishalmin, he says pirush mikra de mevin li de malchus tahenu milosana ein mevin li de tashlumin el mikravas yisim lo kashu zomim shemach lokan Mishalim. The clear implication of Rashi is, if there were only one pasuk, you would not get both. Even according to a mayor, you wouldn't have to get pay and get malchus. It's only because there are two separate pasukim that you both pay and get malchus. Says Tosfos, problem is, the kasha, hamrin basokha sepalin, is a beferish gemarim bamitsia, hachosim pi para ladushba, if a person muzzles his cow and then threshes with it, loke umishalim. He gets malchus and he has to pay. Even though he only violated one pasuk, he violated los achsom. Nevertheless, he's going to get malchus for the issue of los achsom, and he's going to have to pay for the food that the cow didn't get to eat at that time. So he's going to be loka umishalim. Now the Ritva says, who says it's only one pasuk? The Ritva here says it's two pasukim. There's los achsom and there's vehesh v'sagzela. By not feeding the cow, you stole, because you had a responsibility to feed the cow. You rented this cow from somebody, you're supposed to feed it. L'kach pir sharar v'beinu meir miborguni tachi kamar. Shelo Hashem hamvilu de malchus. So Rameir miborguni explains that no, when it says lo Hashem hamvilu de malchus, mevilu de tashlumin kolomar, what it means to say, einu tsarech lavil ni de tashlumin. De tashlumin lo bo'u asara. That the pasuk that gives you malchus doesn't have to also give you tashlumin. Because for tashlumin, you don't need a pasuk. for tashlum, and you cost somebody money, you pay them money. It doesn't require a hasar in the Torah. Tibo hasar vade lalaki. Now, if you needed an hasar in the Torah in order to be mechayiv you the money, then you're right. You wouldn't get malchus. Tlol malchus hasa kim l'tashlum. Because then you would say, the pasuk is not telling me about malchus. The pasuk is telling me about tashlum that I have to pay. Because I'm reading lafshin l'hasar smis basin in lokalav. El lo bo hasara telek hasara b'shein v'ayin uksiv shalem shalem. You don't need an hasara. Just like by shein v'ayin, it just says shalem shalem without any hasara. So lo sana is therefore free to teach you malchus, right? So and he says that's what lo sachsom also. By lo sachsom the ashar is clearly only for malchus. You know that there's a chiyuv tashlumin. How do you know there's a chiyuv tashlumin? Because if you weren't allowed to muzzle the animal, obviously you have to pay for what the animal could have eaten. Meaning there's what's called a milva ksuv b'torah and milva shein ksuv b'torah. There are two types of monetary payments. Sometimes we have something that's called a milva ksuv b'torah, which means that the Torah teaches me a chiddush that you have to pay money for certain circumstances, for certain situations, right? Where I would not have known that there's a monetary payment, right? Any knas that the Torah says that you have to pay is a milva ksuv b'torah. Milva shein ksuv b'torah doesn't mean the Torah doesn't say it. Milva shein ksuv b'torah means I don't need the Torah to say it. If I cost somebody money, obviously I need to reimburse their money. So you don't need an ashara to tell me about a milva shein ksuv b'torah. It's obvious that you owe the money. Okay, next case in the Mishnah. If two edim testify that someone is chayiv 40 malchus, and then it turns out that the redim zavmin lokin shmonim mishum losan reyachay shakar mishum vasisim lokash zavm. Rameir says you can get 80 malchios. Why 40 for losan for lying for testifying falsely and 40 for what you tried to do to the other guy? The chum marmin lokin al arbam. The chum say no, you're only going to get 40 lashes. You're not going to get 80 lashes. Good, says the Gemara. I understand very well according to Rabbanan, Kedei Risha Soksiv, Mishum Risha Achas HaTamachai V'yatamachai Mishum Shtei Rishayos. I understand very well that the Rabbanan are going to say you can't get Malkus, this is going back on the Risha. You can't both get Malkus and pay money, because the Pasuk says Kedei Risha So, that you can only be Chayiv Mishum Risha Achas, you can't be Chayiv for the same act, two separate punishments. El Rameir Maitaima, but what's the reason for a mayor? What's the reason for a mayor that you can't get both a punishment to have to pay and punishment of malchus? The Tosus is bothered. If you look at the fourth line of Tosus, it says, "Im tomer my parach, but b'ksubis muki haikralu lokin lumisa." What do you mean? What does Rameir do with the pasuk? The Gemara in Ksubis says the pasuk is not talking about when you chayv malchus and payment. The pasuk is talking about when you chayv malchus and misa, that you only get one, not the other. That we're not going to beat you up before we kill you. We're only going to kill you, and then right. So that's what the pasuk is talking about. Why is this a big kasha? So he says v'yishlomu dekol zemin apircha el Rameir havle l'midrash shalomu rishaso shein atemachayv mishum shei rishayos v'lo l'lokin l'misa. What we're really asking is, why does Rameir say that pasuk is only talking about when you chayv malchus and misa? The pasuk should have been talking about when you chayv malchus and mamon. Meaning, we know what Rameir does with the pasuk. We're asking, why does Rameir not learn the pasuk like the chachamim do? The chachamim obviously learn the pasuk that even when you chayv malchus and mamon, you're only going to be chayv one, not both. Why does Rabbi Meir say that the pasuk is only talking about a case of malchus and misa and not a case of malchus and mamon? That's how Tosfos learns the kasha. The Rashash points out that this bishlom of the Rabbanon, he says l'machlokas habeis l'luk lishmonim ein dai b'tamazeh. Now, when discussing the second case of the Mishnah, where you were made, where edim zomim were made that a guy was chayiv malchus, and the Rabbanon say that you that you get 40 malchios and not 80, so this kedei rishasa wouldn't work. This kedei rishasa would not explain the sheet of the Rabbanan. Because we paskin that when you do a single avera that has many lavin in it, right? Says the Rashash, kaimlan bekamaduchti. We paskin in many places that if, let's say, I eat a bug that has, that's the example the Gemara gives of how you could violate many isurim with one act. That if you eat a bug, that you could be chayv, let's say, five lavin for eating that bug. So the halacha is all over the place. You get five times Malkus. So that we definitely don't learn from Kedei Rosh Hashanah. So that's how you know this line is definitely not discussing the second part of the Mishnah. It's only discussing the first part of the Mishnah, where there's a Chiv Mamon and a Chiv Malkus. So we're saying, Bishlam al-Rabban, and I understand why you're only going to get the Chiv Mamon and not the Chiv Malkus because of Kedei Rosh Hashanah. But why does Rav Meir not learn the Pasuk of Kedei Rosh Hashanah in that way? So Amar Ula answers, Gamar Motzi Shemra. We learn it from Motzi Shemra. Ma Motzi Shemra Loko Mishalim. Afka Loko Mishalim. Rav Meir will say, by Motzi Shemra, when a person is Motzi Shemra on a girl, he says he gets married to a girl who's supposed to be Basula, and then he claims the next day, Lo Matzasi Lebitcha Basulim, that she wasn't a Basula. It turns out that he's lying, so he's going to get both Malkus, and he's going to have to pay. So too, over here, there's no problem of getting Malkus and having to pay. There's no such issue. I, Mal Motzi Shemra Shekin Knas. Maybe the only reason Motzi Shemra has both Malkus and payment is because Motzi Shemra has another something that's strict about it, namely that it's a Knas. It's not a regular monetary payment where you're paying for loss. It's a knas, and therefore it's a chiddush. And the Torah could be mechadish a lot of unique things about Motzi Shema that don't apply to the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula. So some like Rabbi Akiva, Dam Reidim Zomim Knasahu. Yeah, but we're assuming like Rabbi Akiva that Reidim Zomim is also knas. Right? Remember, Rabbi Akiva was the one who said, if the Edom didn't cost the guy any money, the guy never had to pay. They said that Reuven owed Shimon $100, but we caught these Edom before Reuven ever paid Shimon $100. So how could it be that that's called mammon when Edom have to pay? It's obviously a knas, because they never actually cost anybody anything. So that's Rabbi Akiva Shitas. That's what we're assuming, that Edom Zomim is a knas, and therefore you can learn it from Motzi Shemra. Ika demasin lahadu ula aha. Some had ula's comment taught in the following context. Titanya weta brisa. Lo sasir mi menu ad boker, venosu menu ad boker, beish sofu. Pasuk says that you can't leave anything over from the karban until the morning, and if you do leave something over, so then it gets burnt in the fire. Right? That's the issue of nosar in the Torah, that you have a set time to eat every karban. You're not allowed to leave any bit of that karban over past that set time. If you do, nosar is the classic example of Lav Hanita Klase, that if you do leave something over past the set time, so you can fix it by fulfilling the mitzvah sasei of Be'ish Tesrofu, of them going and burning the Nosar. The Pasuk is clearly trying to make this a Lav Hanita Klase. It's making a mitzvah sasei to rectify the problem created by the violation of the Lo Sasei. Lomar Shein Lokan Alav Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi says, what's the pasuk doing? It's showing us that you can't get Malkus on it. Because the Lav Anita Glase, you don't get Malkus on it. So anytime you have an Asay that fixes a Lav, mainly you're not going to get Malkus on it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lomar Hashem Azeh. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not true. El Mishum Davle Lav Shein B'Maisa. You know why you don't get Malkus on Nosar? It's because it's a Lav Shein B'Maisa. How does one violate Nosar? You know how you violate Nosar? You don't do anything. You just let the meat stay. That's a violation of Nosar. So since it's a Lav Shein B'Maisa, the Kol Lav Shein B'Maisa in Lokan Lav, that's why you don't get Malkus. Nothing to do with Lav Anita Glase. It's because Lav Shein B'Maisa. So Mechlal Rabbi Yehuda Sava Lav Shein B'Maisa Lokan Lav. The implication is Rabbi Yehuda, who says, oh no, you needed to be a Lav Anita Glase to save you the Malkus, implies that the Lav Shein B'Maisa would not have saved you. That for Lav Shein B'Maisa, you would get Malkus. It's only because it's Lav Anita Glase that you don't get Malkus. That's the implication. Well, Minale, where in the world does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that a Lav Shein B'Maisa, you do get Malkus? Where does he see that? Samar Ula Gomer Milti Shemra. Ma Milti Shemra Lav Shein B'Maisa Lokan Lav Afka Lav Shein B'Maisa Lokan Lav. He derives it from Milti Shemra. Just like Milti Shemra is Lav Shein B'Maisa and you get Malkus, so to every Lav Shein B'Maisa he holds, you can get Malkus. So he says, can you really derive from Milti Shemra? Ma Milti Shemra Shekin Lokan Mishalim. But Milti Shemra has its own unique chumra that perhaps make it something that you can that you cannot derive other laws from. Namely, that Motzi Shemra, you get both Malkus and have to pay. And normally, you only get one punishment. So maybe you can't derive anything from Motzi Shemra to call it Torah Kula. Ella Amar Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish says, no, you know where he really gets it from? Gamar Me'edim Zomman. He learns it from Edim Zomman. What Maisa do Edim Zomman do? All they do is they move their lips. They speak. There's no ma'isa that they do. Ma'idim zomim lav shein b'ma'isa lo kan lav. Just like idim zomim, it's lav shein b'ma'isa. Nevertheless, they still get malchus. Wait, is the punishment for idim zomim in malchus? Punishment for idim zomim is whatever they try to do to the other guy. But when we can't do the first mission of the Masechta, when we can't do what they try to do to the other guy, then the punishment for Edom Zomim becomes Malkus. So yes, so the punishment for Edom Zomim, the default punishment for Edom Zomim is in fact Malkus. Afkal Avshem Amaisa Lokim Lav. So to every Lavshem Amaisa you get Malkus. So that's how Rav Yehuda learns that a Lavshem Amaisa you get Malkus. Frankly, Gemara Mal Edom Zomim Shkenein Shrich Nasra. But Edom Zomim have their own unique chumer also, namely that Edom Zomim do not require Asra. So isn't that its own unique chumer by Edom Zomim? Now, why don't we? So, Purus Yosef has a very sharp ha'ar over here. He says, why don't we just answer that we held like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Davavim Beis later on, who says that a chaver doesn't need hasra'a. Why would a chaver not need hasra'a? Talmud Chacham not need hasra'a? Because he holds that the only purpose of hasra'a is to determine whether the person is doing it b'shogeg or b'mezid. And therefore, a chaver does not require asra. By Edim Zom and L'chora, it's not shaykh to say that they did it b'shogeg, because Bezdin, before Bezdin accepts any edos, Bezdin sits there warning the guy, look, this is serious stuff, and it's a big trouble if you lie in court. And that, so it's hard to say they did it b'shogeg. We pretty much ascertain that they're doing this b'mezid. So why doesn't the Gemara just answer that? That the Edim Zom and Ein Tzrich and Asra, that's not a special din in Edim Zom. Edim Zom don't need asra because they got their asra. The whole point of asra is to be mafkin mishog l'mezid. Bezin already took care of it. Sharp kasha, the Parsi Yosef. Anyway, what does the Gemara answer? Gemara says, Motzi Shemra Yochiach. Motzi Shemra will show us that that's not true, that it's not a din in whether it requires asra. Because Motzi Shemra does require asra, and nevertheless, you get Malkus on it, even though it's a lav shem b'maisa. V'chazar din, lo rizak rizav, lo rizak rizav, et ha'lashav shbren, lav shem b'maisa, v'lok and lav, just like Edom Zomim and Motzi Shemra are both a lav shem b'maisa, and you get Malkus, so we learn to the rest of Kala Torah Kula, av kol lav shem b'maisa, lo kan lav, so to the rest of Kala Torah Kula, you get Malkus for every lav shem b'maisa. Frek the Gemara, mal atzal ha'shav shbren, shkein knas. But how can you learn from Motzi Shemra and Edom Zomim, and both of them are knas? So maybe you can't derive from the two of them. Hello, Kasha. Rabbi Yehuda lo sri like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. He thinks Edom Zomim is not a knas, so he doesn't think that there's some tzad chamur that Edom Zomim and Motzi Shemra share in common that make it unlearnable to Kala Torah Kula. But wait a second, shouldn't we ruin the Tzad HaShava anyway, because they both have a Tzad Chamer, they both have something about them that makes them very strict? Rabbi Yehuda, Tzad Chamer lo paruch. Rabbi Yehuda would say, Tzad Chamer doesn't bother me. You can't ask, they each have a Tzad Chamer. That's the whole idea of Tzad HaShava, is that each one has a Tzad Chamer, but they don't share the same Tzad Chamer. So therefore, it's still a valid Tzad HaShava. Okay, that was all discussion of the first case of the Mishnah. Tomorrow we'll spend 3-4 lines discussing the second case of the Mishnah.